Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Back in the day, I used to avoid the comment section. I did. The newspapers I worked for said, get in there and mix it up. The engagement is good. And I went, nope, it's a cesspool in there. Unless you're giving me a hazmat suit, I'm not going into the comment section. Well, the comment section at johncanzano.com is different. It's subscribers. It's people who want to be there. It's people using their real names. And because of that, I have found that it's a pleasant place to hang out. And I was hanging out in the comment section today, and I wrote today about Jason Puckett, known as Puck, formerly of KJR in Seattle for 22 years, and just kind of wrote his story. So often we identify and define people using using their roles, right? Using their job. You're a sports columnist. You're a radio show host. You're a school teacher. You're a bus driver. You're a lawyer. You're a doctor. Whatever it is, we identify people that way. And less frequently, we talk about who they really are. Well, I got a chance to know our guest, Jason Puckett, and get an idea of who he is. As a dad, a husband, a friend, a guy who's got more than sports to talk about. He has left KJR in Seattle, and he's here to spill some of the tea about it. We're not here to trash on KJR, but I'm interested in Puck's story and what he's doing now, and you should be as well. Jason Puckett joining us now. How has your day been?
It's been good. Thank you. I appreciate all you've done for me. Yeah, you left out brown water drinker connoisseur, so that's always a good one to throw in there as well. I'm doing good, John. I just quickly, for all the listeners out there, I mean, I think that a lot of your listeners know, you know, kind of what you do behind the scenes and, you know, with your writing and everything and how you reach out and help people. But you've been such a good friend to me and a confidant and someone I can lean on seek advice for the last few weeks, months. And I can't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough for what you have done for me and kind of the inspiration you've provided for me. So I just want your listeners to know that, because they think you're kind of old and curmudgeon and like not a good guy.
Exactly.
I'm trying to paint a different side of you to them. He's actually, guys, dear Amy and Derek down there in Portland. He's a nice guy. You like him.
Thank you. Thanks. We'll bring you on more often. How about once a week? Hey, Puck Sports.
Well, you know what? I've got free time.
PuckSports.com is the new website he has launched. He is working for himself now, producing a podcast and video cast and doing some other fun things on that website. It's live now if you want to check it out, PuckSports.com. Let's back way up, though, Puck. Let's go back to age 12. You're a kid. You're in school. Set the scene for us. You know, the story goes that you wanted to be you wanted to talk about sports and you wanted to make people smile.
Yeah. Like a lot of people growing up, just loving sports, you know, playing it, you know, me not playing it well. But you know, just love being around it and just love watching sports and all that. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of my heroes were, you know, the people I watched, you know, Steve Largent and Kurt Warner, the old Seahawks players and all the old Sonic players, you know, back in the day, and, you know, X-Man and Xavier McDaniel and Dale Ellison, all those guys and all the former Mariners. But, you know, the guys that I really looked up to the most were my local newscasters who did the sports. So here in Seattle, like, there was four of them that were just great. And Bruce King was one. He was the legendary one at Como 4 News. There's another guy by the name of Tony Ventrella that did it at the NBC affiliate, and the CBS guy was Wayne Cody, if people remember Wayne Cody back in the day.
Yeah.
He was a big Santa Claus type figure. And then another gentleman by the name of Rod Simons. Anyways, those guys, when I was a kid growing up, I would watch and devour all of like the local news. Like I would bounce around every channel to watch their local sportscast. You know, so back in the day they'd get like 6, 7, 8 minutes to do it. And I just would be in awe that these guys got to talk about sports. They got to interview athletes. They got to go to all these cool sporting events, and they got to do it for free. And this was their job. And I just couldn't fathom that you got paid to do this. Like, someone pays you to go watch sports and talk about it. And so we had a project when I was in junior high around seventh, eighth grade where you could do a job shadow. So I ended up job shadowing Bruce King, and it just kind of changed my life. And I knew what I wanted to do, but it just kind of cemented it. And he couldn't be nicer. He was like, I mean, he was more famous in Seattle than the actual athletes. And he showed me around and kind of showed me, you know, how it was and what he did. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. I thought it was like meeting Santa Claus. And I remember just coming home, you know, after that, and, you know, turning to my dad going, you know, how was it? I said, well, I know what I want to do. I just want to talk sports for a living. And my dad had a pretty good sense of humor. And I don't think he meant it in like any rude or condescending way. He just kind of looked at me and he goes, well, you better learn how to pour a drink, because the only people that talk about sports are bartenders. And so I'm like 12 or 13. I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'll be a bartender, I guess. But that just kind of stuck with me over the years. I always used it kind of as a carrot, you know, and as, you know, my dad passed away several years ago, but I was kind of looked back at that moment. And that's just kind of where my love affair started with it. And all I've ever wanted to do was talk sports and entertain and just kind of make people laugh. I've always just kind of been that class clown, whether it was in school and out of school at work. And that's what I've just tried to do. I've never tried to take it too serious. And it's kind of led to this moment and this like big life decision that I made. And I think I made the right one. I hope I made the right one, but it's been a long road, and it's a long, you know, weaving road that took me, you know, through Portland way back in the day when I just started out my career. But I don't regret anything that I've done, John.
You grew up reading Jim Moore at the Seattle PI, and then one day you find yourself hosting a show with him. Can you maybe speak to that relationship a little bit and why it worked so well? Because you guys have great on-air chemistry.
He just, when I was, yeah, and I used to remind him of that a lot. Like, I remember, you know, that was kind of our shtick and bit on the show, that I would bring up all the columns that he wrote back in the day for the PI, and Jim was, he's just a different columnist. Like, he didn't write how most columnists back then did, you know, where there was just, like, hard-hitting opinions on sports. He would just find the offbeat nature of the subject and write about it. And he used to always write about like their families and did they have a dog. Like every column he wrote had something to do with a dog, but they were so personal, and they were had this personal touch, but it was so relatable. And I just was always in awe of how he wrote. It was so funny. He would be laughing at the, you know, at the table getting ready to go to school. Yeah, so I knew Jim for a long time. And, you know, he was working at a different station, you know, when I was working at KJR, and we'd always see him, you know, we'd always bump into each other. We were always hanging out. We were friends. I mean, he used to be like a regular guest on KJR when I was working there as a 23, 24 year old. And I just kind of always filed it away that, man, it would be so much fun to work together. And we had the opportunity to do so. It's surreal. I mean, not, you know, you get to really work with people you look up to and kind of, you're in awe of when you're younger. And I got a chance to do that for a couple of years with him. And it was awesome. It was such a great chemistry that we had because we're good friends, and it just kind of carried over onto the air. And it's, I think, how sports radio or any type of talk radio should be. You know, I've always thought it's like two things, right? It's sports radio should be kind of bar talk, sitting around a bar, because that's kind of where it originated, in the barbershop. I think those are the two things. And I think that we kind of overcomplicated at times with all the X's and O's and serious talk and nature of it. But yeah, he was just has been a huge impact on my life and career, and a valued friend. And, you know, the way I feel about him and, you know, made my decision to leave KJR a lot easier, because I just know that he would have done the same thing, you know, for me if he was put in a similar situation.
Now, let's talk about that situation. 22 years, your contract ends in January. You continue to work beyond the contract, trying to get the details hammered out. And, you know, that had to be not that comfortable for you to be in that position in that uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody that's, you know, listening that maybe has ever dealt with a contract in maybe a different, you know, form of work, you know, understands, you know, kind of the nature of it. It's, you know, it's a tough world. You know, media is in general. It's very competitive, and there's not a lot of jobs. And I was very confident that a contract was going to get done. I wanted the contract to get done, and was hopeful that we would, be able to kind of ride out, you know, the final year together. But, you know, this negotiations kind of just went back and forth, and it ultimately didn't work out. But, well, I mean, it ended up working out kind of in the end. I mean, I was able to kind of get and receive what I wanted, but, you know, the plan was that, you know, Jim was going to work out throughout the end of the year, and you know, we would just kind of move on from that, you know, after that, and maybe I would leave or maybe I would stay. But, you know, after, you know, a few hours or a day that I had received, you know, an offer from the station, that I was then informed as part of like nationwide cutoffs within the company iHeartMedia that he was one of them. And, you know, so I think if you put yourself in my position, anyone, I think you're left a little like, you know, confused and conflicted and angry. And you're like, wait a minute, you're on this high that you just got, you know, kind of the money and the offer you wanted. But then on the flip side, the person that you work next to is now no longer going to be there. And it was just, you know, I think your mind naturally goes to, wait a minute, did they just pay me in order? Did they just fire him in order to pay me? And that was just something that, you know, I know those some people wanted to disagree with me about it, but it was just something, a perception I couldn't get out of my head, that people, my listeners and people I work with, would always have about me, thinking that, that I received a contract based on because a partner and a good friend had lost his job. And it was too hard for me to kind of deal with. And I just didn't like, you know, how it sit with me and how it would be perceived with people, even though I knew the truth and Jim knew the truth. But it's a hard thing. Once kind of that perception sets in and that narrative starts, it's kind of hard to fight that. You can't really argue that on the air. No, I didn't have anything to do with it. I think once people, you know this, once people kind of set their hooks into something, what they believe in, it's kind of what they believe in. And so, you know, I just decided that I wanted to walk away and kind of, you know, in my own way, kind of show, you know, some solidarity and some loyalty to Jim. And, but also, I mean, this was something that, you know, I think has always kind of been in the back of my mind that I'd like to try. And certainly kind of watching you have success and others have success, that it starts to become a little bit more of a reality. So I decided to pull the ripcord and go a little bit early on it.
PuckSports.com is the website. Jason Puckett, our guest. You mentioned Jim. I talked to you on Monday. I wasn't sure what you were going to do after you got off the phone. Like, I think you were kind of just...
I did.
You were sorting it out. And then I talked to Jim. He called me shortly after, and I thought it was really cool. Like, I talked to you both individually, and the thing that struck me was you seemed more concerned about doing right by Jim, and Jim also seemed concerned about you doing right, you know, and ending up in a good position. Like, he was worried about you, you were worried about him. That's a true friendship.
I thought you were going to say Jim was like, man, if I was in his shoes, I'd take the money and go and throw me in the ditch. Which, you know what? That son of a gun, he might do that. No. yeah, I mean, I see a lot of myself, you know, we're 20 years, you know, about 20 years apart. A little less than I think, but and I see a lot of myself in him, and I think he sees a lot of himself, you know, in me. I mean, he's a great dad. He's, you know, he's got three great kids, two boys, a daughter, and, you know, he's a great friend, you know, to his closest friends and his high school friends. I mean, he's still, you know, he's still buddies with like a lot of his elementary school friends. I mean, no one is. I mean, there's hardly, but I've got great friends that from my elementary school years. So there's a lot of great parallels, and he and I just both have this, you know, if you do me right, we'll always have your back kind of mentality. And so, you know, I think there was kind of a special bond there that no doubt always kind of came across on the air. That was never forced or made up. You know, in this industry, it's you know, that type of chemistry sometimes is forced on you, because sometimes you work with somebody you've never met before and don't have a relationship with, but that certainly wasn't the case with us, and it just became natural and easy. I mean, that microphone light turned on, and we just kind of went. And there was never a script. There was, other than, like, here's the guests that are coming up today, there was never discussion about what we were going to talk about. No clue where the direction of the show was going to go, and I always thought, although some thought would be got upset about it, were a little, you know, maddening at times that, you know, we didn't get right to a sports topic or something, or was kind of all over the place. But I think it was, I think refreshing in a way to just kind of go and talk. And, but yeah, he's a good soul, that Jim Moore, for sure.
Jason Puckett, our guest. Puck, I always say your job doesn't love you. It's not going to kiss you back. It's not going to hug you. In fact, when you fall down, your job's going to step right over your cold body and go to the next person. I have to know, as you are sort of sifting through this, you've got a wife and you've got two kids at home, and you know, how much did you talk with them about making this decision?
They found out yesterday for the first time. No, I'm just joking.
Can you imagine just coming
surprise!
Down from the stairs? Hey, surprise, Daddy doesn't work there anymore. The best thing my kids said to me, is they were all on board. They had been I told my kids about 3 or 4 days ago to keep them out of it. My wife had obviously known forever, and she was great and super supportive and just a rock, as, you know, most, you know, spouses are, and always had my back and just kept telling me, whatever decision you make, we're behind you. My kids, the best part about my kids, though, at the station that we've at KJR, we had a pop machine there. The greatest thing about working at this place was we had a pop machine that ever since I worked there, it was 25 cents for a pop. It was the greatest deal. Like inflation,
oh, wow,
in this area, right? Seattle, Portland, everything's expensive. That thing was always 25 cents. And the first thing when I told my kids, and I'm kind of breaking down and crying, well, I'm not going to work there anymore. It's going to be hard. And I don't want you guys to worry, and we'll still be able to do stuff. My 10-year-old, my son Owen, who's pretty much just like me, just turns to me, goes, man, he goes, sure ain't gonna miss that pop machine. That was a good deal. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Owen. And I'm like, I'm crying, and he's like, God, I wish, is there any way we can get that pop machine here? Or like, what can we do? Like, how can we get that back over, like, in the house? So super supportive. You know, they're a big part, my family is, of just the show. I mean, they're in essence kind of personalities, really. I mean, they, you know, they listeners know them by their nicknames. You know, my son goes as the vampire, because when the first 2 years of his life he didn't sleep at night, so he would be up all night long and then sleep during the day, and so mom and dad never slept for 2 years, and he's the vampire. And then my daughter's 14, we used to call her Beast Mode after Marshawn Lynch, because she just kind of acts like Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, it's kind of cool, because, you know, people reached out after I left, and you know, it would just say, hey, we're going to miss all the stories that you used to tell on all your trips, and to what you guys would do as a family. We feel like we've kind of listened to and watched your kids grow up, and they, you know, they cite them by, you know, their nickname. So, you know, this platform is super personable, and as you know, and it's, I don't think there's anything else like it. So that's a really cool thing to see, you know, people reach out to you with so many heartfelt responses.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, today I reached out to you a couple times because I was writing about you this morning, and then I got a bunch of response from people who maybe had never read you or never listened to you, and they said they're going to, you know, check out your site. What are the plans for the site? Like, what are you going to do with PuckSports.com?
I'm just going to really just take what we did on the radio side and just bring it over, you know, kind of to the digital side. I mean, I just think that's the kind of the way in, you know, with where this platform is going anyways. I mean, I mean, just look at it in your own viewing habits or listening habits. I mean, a lot of people just go direct to consumer now. I mean, it's,
yep,
you know, TV watching and listening to stuff. You know, people are so busy. They want to pick and choose what they want to devour. So I'm going to take that. I mean, I'm not reinventing the wheel here. I mean, I'm going to deliver it differently. Than I have before. I like the video aspect of it, you know, that we're going to be doing on the site at PuckSports.com. I mean, you're going to find it anywhere, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all that kind of stuff. And just kind of try and bring, you know, exactly what we did, you know, over to, you know, kind of a digital platform. You know, the good thing for me is, because I'm terrible, you can ask your boss, I'm terrible at breaking on time. So, you know what? I don't have to break on time. I never have to worry about ever getting out and missing commercials, because you can just go as long as you want. And I love that. So, yeah, but it's cool, because I think it's, as you know, it's cool to kind of just have something as your own. And all the responsibility now is on your shoulders. That's daunting. It's scary. But it is extremely, extremely exhilarating. And there's just something that has kind of re-energized me about it, to think that if it is successful, boy, it's, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people that have had a hand in it, but it's, you've kind of put yourself out there to make it work. And I think it's kind of given me a creativity boost that I've probably been missing for a little bit.
I heard from Pac-12 athletic directors today. I heard from high-profile boosters and donors, one of who told me, I'm going to read his text. He said, I don't know your friend from Seattle, but I'm hoping he'll have a giant lift today. And this is from an entrepreneur himself who's wildly successful. And this is somebody who understands the anxiety and the exhilaration that goes with having it on you. Now, this morning, as you wake up, first of all, how'd you sleep overnight? And did you feel that exhilaration and anxiety this morning?
Oh yeah, all of it. I mean, I didn't sleep at all. I mean, I need a better Wi-Fi booster to download all these videos that like up all night, just making sure that they all posted on time and were placed up there. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of moments of ups and downs, the highs and lows. Exhilarated when you finish an interview and you do different stuff and you create something that you kind of doing yourself, you're putting up on a platform for everyone to see. But then also just the, oh my God, this isn't working. Why is this not loading right? What's going on? And you're just like, you're panicking. And now you're yelling at your dogs. My dogs get very scared of me. I got two like labs, a black and chocolate lab. And they'll like run upstairs, like and hide, you know, in the bedroom because, you know, dad's yelling at them. So yeah, it's all up and down. It's a ton of wave of emotions, but I've talked to others who've gone through this and they're like, yeah, expect it. You're just going to kind of be up and down for a little while, but, you know, it's fun. You know, I think it's cool to kind of do like a launch today. We'll get more into it kind of next week, but, you know, do kind of a soft launch on open day, which is such a huge day, obviously, you know, in this city and, you know, all across the country. But yeah, I mean, nervous and excited at the same time and scared. I think all of those emotions.
Jason Puckett with us, PuckSports.com. If you want to see his video cast, his podcast, you can find it all there, right there at PuckSports.com. I got to ask you this. Okay, so KJR's got Jim Moore and you, and they have a good thing going. You guys are kind of like this cougar island in the middle of this ocean of Husky content, and it works. And it works for that reason. It's a nice little point-counterpoint that goes on when you guys are humming along. Jim tells me he was going to retire anyway. The end of the year, 9 months away from retirement. Why doesn't KJR just say, Jim, play it out? Why make a stand now? How corporate, like, it's corporate idiocy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, it's something I have a hard time wrapping my head around. I don't know. I don't know why they couldn't do that. You know, I would assume they would just say that, you know, and I'm not in that corporate world that, you know, those people that are certainly way above me, you know, and I don't doubt these are massively difficult decisions and someone's telling you need to do something. So you, in order to kind of keep your job, you've got to make a decision. So I don't know why. I mean, I wish I had a better answer for you. I mean, that's what I would have loved to see and see happen. And I think it would have been just kind of a fitting end to everything, but you know, unfortunately they didn't. And you know, I think that they, I mean, I think everyone, you know, has a biased view of themselves. I mean, I think we had certainly the most entertaining show that was up in that market. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best show. I mean, that's different. That's for people to have their own opinion on it. But I just think in terms of entertainment, it was the most entertaining. It was certainly the most different show that was up there. But and it was a great counter to every other show that there was on the airwaves. And it's funny because I think we both have heard, I mean, I've heard from a lot of Cougar fans because we're both Washington State alums, but I think I've heard from probably more Husky fans, you know, the same comment over and over again. I'm a Husky, but my God, you guys are my favorite show. I mean, we would dig at that Husky fans, but I mean, I think if you're smart enough and you realize what we were doing, there was so much, you know, tongue in cheek involved in it and not trying to be too serious about it. You know, some got it, some didn't. We're kind of playing a role and playing a part, and it was always in good nature. It was always in good fun. I mean, my God, our best moments with our guy Softy, who I know you've had on a bunch, and you know, he would get it, and we would get it, you know, back from him. And I always thought it just made for great, entertaining radio.
Puck, I obviously wish you the best. I think it's going to be great. And for people who want to see it, PuckSports.com, give it a look, check it out, share it with friends. Tune in and listen to him. If it's for you, it's for you. You'll know it right away. Jason Puckett, keep up the fight.
You're the man. When you go to the website, John, you'll see the picture of me. You're wondering who that is. That's Bill the Beer Man. Now, some of you old school Portland people will remember Bill the Beer Man because he worked at the Kingdome for the Seahawks, but he also did it for the Blazers. That was a Halloween costume from years ago, Bill the Beer Man.
Love that.
You're the best. Honestly, you mean the world to me, and thank you for everything.
Thank you, Puck. Appreciate you. Leave it here. More ahead.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.